This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Abro, an avid and intrepid traveler. From scuba diving to jungle trekking, skydiving to glacier walking, I have traveled to all seven continents of the world. I have crossed the Arctic and Antarctic circles, stood with my feet on either side of the equator, and climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Being diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa and going blind have not stopped my travels, just changed the way in which I experience them. As I share some of my adventures with you, I hope this will encourage you to try some travels of your own. Today we're continuing on our great travels through Vietnam. Our next adventure was to be heading off to Bai Tu Long Bay and to be spending a couple of nights on a converted junk ship. Before we could leave Hanoi though, while we were up in the Hajiang Loop, had a cut go infected and I needed to pop into a pharmacy to get something to help me with it. The pharmacy that was in walking distance was closed at that time of the morning as it was still pretty early, but the manager of our family-run hotel said not to worry, he would take me to one that was open. He put me on the back of his motorbike and off we went. Well, being part of the swarm of motorbikes rather than having to fight our way through them was amazing. It was actually quite relaxing. There I was sitting on the back of a motorbike, probably with a giant smile plastered all over my face, heading off to a pharmacy where the pharmacist was brilliant. Took one look at my finger, went off and got me a whole myriad of tablets with instructions for each one of them, handed them over to the hotel manager with strict instructions on what to do, and charged me next to nothing before we headed off back to the hotel and our pickup to head off to Bai Tu Long Bay. The boat we were on, we had chosen based on what we had read of their itinerary. They said, if weather permitted, we could eat on deck. That was the first good thing. Then, again, weather permitting, we would have a barbecue on one of the little islets that are formed by these incredible karst mountains. Well, that had us sold. Turned out that this was a small junk ship with just room for 50 passengers. And when we walked into our cabin, we were blown away. It was huge, a giant bed and a bathroom that was enormous. We had chosen Bai Tu Long Bay as we'd read that it's a quieter bay. By night, Annie could only count the lights of five other boats in the distance, and it was absolutely silent. There's nothing quite so beautiful as sitting on the water in total silence. As we sailed along the bay each day, sitting on the deck, Annie would describe these incredible karst mountains to me. They are huge and all sorts of forms, so it really is something that looks almost prehistoric. And each of them have formed their own little islets with small pristine beaches on them. We stopped at one of these islets to climb up to a cave. It was so good. Everyone on the boat was so encouraging and wanting me to join in despite the fact that I'm blind. We made our way up to the cave entrance and I managed to get in and around the cave and had a great time learning about what was all around me. The next day, the weather was still good and we were going for a barbecue on the beach. Well, this was one like no other. We arrived on the beach and were told to just relax for a while, and then we were called to lunch. Now, of course, we all expected to just go and pick up our food. None of that. They had laid out two long white linen tablecloths, and there was table service with an endless array of food, never stopping. It was delicious and such a great way to have a barbecue on a beach. The final night, the deck was beautifully decorated with lanterns and tables for dinner, and they made a really special evening of it for all of us, including yet another cake for Annie. Such fun to have been able to celebrate her birthday so many times along this journey already. On our journey back to Hanoi, we stopped along the way in a small village and were treated to a water puppet show. This is an art form that takes people many, many years to become water puppeteers, and it started off in the rice terraces where they would tell the stories of culture and farming and just general life, usually with some sort of a moral in the story. They have now built a proper theater. In the imperious days, the best puppeteers were even taken off to perform in front of the emperors. There was a small purpose-built theatre, and the puppeteers have to stand in the water all of the time during this performance. On the sides, there are musicians and singers telling their story. And it's actually a beautiful art form. Even if I couldn't see it, Annie described it to me so eloquently that I could get the whole story with her. This part of our trip was the last part we had actually booked in advance, aside from a few nights at the end of the trip, as we were waiting to see what the weather was doing. November in central Vietnam is the monsoon season, so we wanted to check before we booked on our overnight train from Hanoi to make sure that we weren't going to be going into giant storms. As luck was on our side, there was no rain forecast, so we arranged our overnight train journey. Before heading to the train station, we went off to see one more site in Hanoi, which is called Train Street. It's so called because the train tracks are so close to the buildings on either side that although there are little coffee shops with tables outside, as the train comes through, the coffee shop owners have to whip their tables away in some sort of a magic trick to make sure that they're not taken away by the trains as they rush through Train Street. It's become quite a tourist spot to watch the trains coming through, but as we were to be on the train that night, we just wanted to go and see this Train Street and experience having a coffee practically on the railway tracks. That night, we were sitting on the train, heading off, and Annie could watch through the window where we'd been sitting and all the tourists watching and taking photos of us as we thundered through Train Street. Vietnamese overnight trains have three parts to them. There's the state part of the train, and then there are two other parts of the train, each run by separate private companies. The reason for this is they give you thicker mattresses. We had managed to get some tickets last minute on one of the private groups, so we had a thicker mattress. And not only that, the attendant brought us beers in the evening, and in the morning came along with coffee, bananas, and some bread rolls for us to have for breakfast. It was a great, comfortable night and a brilliant way to head off into central Vietnam. Join me next time on RNIB Connect Radio for another adventure. But for now, I'll leave you to plan your own travels.